Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my co-host, Dan. And this week, we are talking Bucks Short Course Racing, which just took place in Sheffield. Now, Dan, I was lucky enough to attend the final day or final evening of racing. So this is more like you're going to be interviewing me for once, essentially, to find out what happened.
Well, I'm a little bit jealous because I love Bucks. The atmosphere is always incredible. And I suppose my first question, if we're going to go straight into it here, is do you think Bucks should be bigger? Because I think it should be one of the biggest competitions that we actually have in this country. And I always think that it's big for the universities, for students, but actually, because it's free entry, should more people actually go there and watch?
I would say 100%. There's a few meets around the country, around British swimming, which have the best atmospheres. We know what they are. The Intercounties is unreal. The Arena Speedo Leagues, those are really good finals, and especially like the day-to-day weekend racing. But when it comes to Bucks, that was loud. That was a loud weekend's racing. Birmingham brought the noise. Loughborough brought the noise. Stirling brought the noise. They're big teams that go to these meets. For every university, they take a lot of swimmers. And it's not often until you get to British Champs. So if we ignore British Champs, it's not often in this country you get the amount of elite swimmers that were at this meet racing flat out and fast. Because a lot of these guys are racing for scholarships, essentially, for their universities. They have to perform well at Bucks because it wins. Well, does it win prize money for their university? That's something I don't quite know.
It goes towards Buck points, which then helps the university. Yeah.
Exactly. So, how many occasions on the swimming calendar do you get a fully firing Cam Brooker against Ollie Morgan? Probably this and British Champs. And this is the only short course one. It should be made so much more of a spectacle, in my opinion, because, like you said, it's free to go there. You can just walk in. How many swimming meets can you just walk in and go sit down and watch?
Well, it goes back to, we had a conversation, literally, didn't we, just after Bucks and on last week's podcast as well, saying that, more of a bigger deal should be talked about when a big swimmer goes to Loughborough, to Stirling, to Bath, to anywhere, Birmingham, anywhere. And the fact that they should then be celebrated almost like a transfer deadline day, which we've already said about, that should happen more. And if it's then on social media and it's more of a bigger thing, a bigger deal, I think it would then entice more people to go and watch them.
Absolutely. If you know what I'm saying? Imagine if it was built up like a football game because you knew these, it was 1-2 in British swimming here.
Yeah.
At Champs last year, going head to head. I'd love to watch that. I doubt many people even knew or even tuned into the live stream just for that. You tune into the live stream if you go to uni or if you know the people racing. It's not it's there. The meat is there.
It needs to be on the same level, kind of in par with NCAAs. I know I was about to bring up the fact that it's short course and not people don't really want to know short course times or the season. They just kind of get through that ready for long course season because that's where the big meets happen. But actually NCAA is massive in America and Bucks should need, I know there's more universities in America, obviously, but it should be, just as big in this country. And sometimes it's not just about your Loughboroughs, your Baths, your Stirlings. It's actually the other universities that aren't bigger or known in their swimming world, but actually they still turn up because they need the Bucks points to help their own university as well. And so that's where my head is at. I think it should be bigger, definitely.
You're absolutely right. If you look at NCAAs over in America, I don't understand the yards times. I'm going to put that out there. Me and Dan, we have a swimming podcast. We should know these things. Having a clue. Having a Scooby. Don't understand them. It's fast racing, though, and it's fun to watch. Yeah. This is what Bucks is in this country. It is very fast racing and it is very fun. And I can't get my head around the names that are here are going to be better than any other meet apart from British Champs.
Exactly.
Even Edinburgh International leading up to British Champs. You're not going to get every single one of these guys there. I know for a fact. Yeah. Some of them are going off to America. Some of them are swimming in Wales. They're not going to be at Edinburgh International. This is a chance to see these swimmers. And if swimmers had the profile that they really should be making for themselves, maybe they'd have fans turn up. Like, maybe you'd have some school kids from Sheffield come along and say, oh my God, look, I just watched Ollie Morgan.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's there. Like, look, there's Katie Shanahan, Freya Corbett, Lauren Cox. These are people who medaled last summer.
Hmm. This is where I think maybe schools may have an impact. Or Bucks reaches out to schools, and it's all grassroots stuff that we've been saying on the podcast forever. And it's all marketing. Let the kids know that, you know, you're about to see a world champion race.
Yeah.
Or, you know, an Olympic medalist or whatever. And they're going 1 and 2, and the best in the country.
Go watch for free.
Yeah, and they're gonna show you their best skills, the underwater skills, you know, stuff like that, you know? And that's what grinds me a little bit, because Bucks is amazing. Like we said, the atmosphere is incredible.
We've both done it from the level of not the elite end. We've been that middle session, the everyone who's a bit hungover. We've done that one, and that is joyous. That is like the best thing in a university calendar. And it's just missing that tiny bit of commerciality that swimming always is. And I, after going for this meet for just, I was only there for like 3-4 hours. I am really keen if we can push it on further by providing some sort of coverage, like even more than what is done, even if we build it up bigger, because I think we probably missed a trick going in. Like, we knew these swimmers were there, but we didn't pump it up. Like, that, I feel like that's half our responsibility now as well. And I really want to do it. Come long course, yeah, it's probably not going to be as fast, isn't it? It's probably not going to be as fast or as it... Oh my God, I can't get that out. Yes, long course, it's probably not going to be as fast or as exciting as short course. Like, that short course racing had something special about it. Like, it's going to be bigger than the Winter Nationals that are taking place. Like, we...
I would have thought so. Yeah.
But yeah, we circle meets around the year that we just like.
Bucks will always be big in my view, because the swimmers will always be there. Like you said right at the very beginning, these guys are actually going for funding purposes, their scholarship purposes, because they have to. Otherwise, they don't get the money to be able to train and do what they do. So they have to do that, and they have to, I suppose, win. Yeah. I suppose. So they have to perform.
Like, you see the times, they're good.
Yeah, they've got to swim and do really well. Otherwise, potentially next year or the year after, whatever, their scholarship money might come down. So they've got to perform. And that's the reason why you see such good times. I don't know how it's going to go for long course this year, because, you know, Olympics and trials is more important. So I don't know how that's going to go. But if it's another year, I imagine it's just going to be as stacked as what it is this year. But yeah, there you go.
It's like we'd love to hate on it a little bit. Like, we need to do more. Like, we get that. Like,
I think we will. We'll do 100%.
Like, I came away from the meeting. I had, what, a 2-3 hour drive, actually, all the way home. And I was just bouncing the whole way, just like, oh my God, some of the, like, footage, some of the races that I saw. I was just like, this is what swimming is. I should be buzzing after a meet like that. Oh, just...
Yeah.
I mean, shall we go through some
of those swims? Because we keep almost teasing it. But, if I'm going to ask you the questions, you were there. I've looked at the results, so I don't know. I know what times they swam, obviously, but I don't know how good they looked. Where should we start with? Let's start. You mentioned Cam Brooker earlier, who you said swam really, really well. Talk me through about Cam.
Like, that, I'm not going to pick a standout swimmer from this meet, because it's hard, because there's so many different levels of like records that were broken and just performances. For me, Cam Brooker is probably one of the fastest swimmers in Britain right now. Like, just unreal weekend. To win the 200 free and the 100 back.
I saw that, yeah.
Just like, what? And the 100 back was good. He was against Ollie Morgan, who is always firing at Bucks because it means a great deal to him to race for Birmingham. Cam looks like he stepped on another level from last year, to me.
Well, we put up the edit of that race, didn't we, on Instagram, on YouTube as well. And basically, he won that race because of his underwaters. He's always been good at underwaters, and obviously, short course showcases that so much more than it does long course. I'm really hoping that he continues this form and then takes that into trials. And then we've always bigged up the 100 backstroke anyway in this country. I wouldn't say it's like on world level, like the Ryan Murphys or whatever. But in terms of the actual
it's growing.
Boy, it's very exciting. So Cam is definitely throwing his name into the hat as well after Ollie Morgan was incredible last year. Really looking forward to that. Really am.
Ollie Morgan was good in the 50, like, it won that by over a second, which is like, just how are you doing that in the 50 meters is unreal. 50 back, Cam Brooker, like, just I just want to put like a little sprinkling on top of Cam Brooker's performance. His 100 back gold, where he beat Ollie and went a 50.9, which I think is the fifth fastest Brit of all time, was straight after doing 100 free, on which he podiumed.
Yeah, it does beg to differ, doesn't it? When I think sprinters do need that race beforehand, maybe get rid of some cobwebs potentially, and then they go into the next race and then they're firing all guns blazing. Does make you think. Someone who I was looking at results as well, Calvin Frey swam well on the sprinting side, especially.
Quietly a breakout meet. Like, he's always been there or thereabouts coming through the junior ranks. I know, like, there was one year at, I think it was British Summers, where he beat Jacob Whittle in the 50.
Mm.
Again, this is a swimmer with one hell of a good start. Underwater's unreal. And that's where he won the 100 and the 50 on, essentially, and beat some big names.
Well, we spoke to his coach the other week, didn't we, about him fixing
his old
start.
Coach,
did you look at his start? Has it changed or improved in any sort of way? Did you kind of see the differences between what you saw last time you saw him?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Sure. Yeah.
Way too fast for me to see.
Oh, right.
I need to slow that footage down if I'm going to give you any sort of an answer on that. I did get his start on the 50 fly. We'll probably put it up this week. I got his last 50 or his last 25 on the 100, where he caught me by surprise on that outside lane. I was just like, oh, I've just got him in the background there, seeing him sneak the win ahead of Alex Cahoon. Like, big year for him. It's a confidence builder going into long course season. Hopefully he can carry that on, but he's still only 19, only just joined the top squad at Loughborough. I'm excited, but to come away with a sprint double is a big thing when the names that are there.
I was going to bring up the fly scene, actually, because yes, he won the 53, which is a big deal when he's beating someone like Alex Cahoon, who is, you know, he's big at bucks, right? But then when it comes to like the fly, you've got a bit more of a competition going on. You've got Josh Gammon in the 200, then you've got Lewis Fraser in the 50 and the 100.
Lewis Fraser won the 50, but he was quite far off his PB, which just shows how good he is. He still went something ridiculous, like a 23.2, but like, there was so much more in the locker for him. His time's so fast. The 50s for him are good. Like, he's going to keep going, obviously, for Wales and swim at Commonwealth Games.
He's quite explosive.
I think I saw the other week he broke the Welsh breaststroke 50 record, which really caught me by surprise.
I was not aware of that. If he has, that just kind of proves what I've just said. He is a very explosive athlete. And so when he gets off the block, he then propels himself so strongly, and the fly kicks that he's got is immense, which is the reason why he does so well to the first 15 and carries on for the rest of the sprints. But quite incredible.
While we're talking fly, Josh Gammon's 200 fly was really good. Ruben Roboth and Keaton tried to stick with him the whole way, but Josh's underwaters literally broke Ruben. The last 50 looked quite hard work.
Oh, really?
He tried to go with him, but I think Josh swam a 154. So, like, this is good swimming this time of year.
It is. That's solid.
The underwaters were really strong. He's now just got to translate it over to long course.
Okay, so we've done backstroke, freestyle, fly, breaststroke then. We had Archie Goodwood on last week.
We had him on last week.
How did he do?
The double. So the 50 and the 100. And I think what was even more impressive was the way he led the Edinburgh 4x50 medley relay to victory. Was it close? It was. Like, Bath got close in the end. But both Edinburgh and Bath comfortably clear of Loughborough, which surprised me slightly. But you've got Archie swimming like 26.9s in the 50 breast, you're doing okay. That helps.
Well, it always does in medley relays. Breaststroke is the key leg, isn't it, on a medley relay? I didn't really, to be honest with you, check any of the relay results because I just assumed it's always like the top three and it's like, oh, I'll pick them.
There was some surprises in there.
I know Edinburgh isn't classed as a top three. When I say top three, it's Bath.
I think they finished third.
Sterling. But the fact that you're getting universities catch up now, you've got Birmingham with Ollie Morgan and Sam Neild coming through, you know, and then you've got Josh, then you've got Archie with Edinburgh University, Carr Hanlon as well. So there's a few universities coming through, which is quite interesting on the relay front.
I think you'll find overall Edinburgh finished third.
Really?
They did, yeah.
I didn't know that. I just knew Loughborough won, but they usually always win.
It went Loughborough, Stirling, Edinburgh, I believe.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it. Any more for the guys' side before we go on to girls?
Yeah, we've got to talk Dan Whiffen, obviously.
Of course.
He's number one in the world now in the 4, 8 and 15 after a solid weekend's work for him. It kind of always happens this time of year. Like, he always manages, whether it's short or long course. He did it last year at the Scottish short course, I think. Hit these sort of times and went number one in the world, and all the hype started building. And this year there's the European short course for him to go and do something special, I think.
He's always said he wants to break the world record, short and long, but especially short.
Yeah. He was a little bit off it on this. He broke the longest standing Bucks record of all time.
Oh, wow.
In the 400 free. And he, like, took it out from the gun. You can tell he's a 1500 swimmer, but when you're beating Felix Oback by 6 seconds or so, you're in good form.
Yeah. I mean, when is this kid never on form? He is just flying. Every time he's in the pool, he's flying. Whatever Andy Manning's doing with that, him and that squad is just incredible, and I'd love to see what he does. I really hope that he comes away with a medal at Paris, or a couple of medals, actually.
It was love my early Olympic prediction, wasn't it, that Ireland would get a medal. So let's see
what happens. He's got a great shot. He really does.
Should we go over to the girls then? Because
yes,
there were a few of them absolutely flying. One, I'll start off with Katie Shanahan hitting Bucks records in the 100 IM and the 200 IM. It was impressive. Like, serious. She's looking so fast in the water right now. Underwaters. Like, 200 IM underwaters against Freya Colbert, who is no slouch at underwaters, just pulled away. And I think, to me, what was, like, the most impressive was her lead off in the 50 back. In the 4x50 medley relay.
Oh, yeah.
She led Sterling off, and Sterling won, by the way. And her 50 back was faster than Lauren Cox. I was like, whoa. She went a 27.4. Yes, Lauren in the individual did a 27.2 to win. If I had told you last year Katie Shanahan could go a 27.4, beat Lauren Cox in a 50 back short course, what would you have told me? Like, that's sprinter sort of territory.
Yeah, as much as Katie is great at underwaters, Lauren is just as good, I would say, especially over a 50. You know, a short course as well. I would have not agreed with you on that. Believed you, you know.
Her performances this weekend have certainly made me sit up and go, okay, she could be this summer the number one Brit, like, female swimmer.
It's interesting that she broke the records in the IMs and not the backstrokes. I assume the backstroke times are harder at Bucks, but...
Well, she didn't swim the 200 or 100.
Oh, so, well, that explains everything.
So, she didn't swim either backstrokes at Bucks, which tells me, like, the IM's a little bit more of a target this year. I think she is stuck in that little dilemma of, well, the 200 back to make an Olympic final. Yeah, looks good. Okay, to make the podium. Holy moly, that's fast. Like, it's, yeah. So, like, the IM might feel like the better chance of an Olympic medal, which might be this strategy. Like, it's early season. We don't know what Steve Teague and Bradley Hay want to do with her in terms of the events.
Yeah.
I think the 200 back still will stay in there. The 100 back probably will as well if she's going this sort of speed short course.
The medley relays as well, so you've got to stick the 100 in there as well.
Well, there's some good girls ahead of her, obviously, with the likes of Lauren Cox, Mehdi Harris.
Kathleen Dawson might come
back. Kathleen Dawson, you know? Exactly. Yeah. But, like, if she's swimming this fast short course, I wouldn't put it past her going sub a minute for the first time in 100 back. Like, I wouldn't.
Oh, she's due that. I think that will happen.
Yeah.
I honestly think all those girls will go sub minute. It's just whoever gets their hand on all first. That's just
a fast race if they all go sub minute.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to go. But interesting that she's going down the IM routes more than the
at this meet.
At this meet. But yeah, interesting. Anyone else? Let's go with Kenyanna McInnes.
Stick in Scotland, yeah.
Yeah, Kenyanna McInnes. Scottish record from her, right?
Scottish records in the 50 fly, the 200 fly. The last 200 fly to me was the more impressive of the two races. She won.
Because Laura Stevens was there.
Yeah, so it was really hard to watch because Laura Stevens at 150 mark was almost a second and a half ahead.
Oh, really?
And the early season lactic hit hard. you could tell. Like, I spoke to her afterwards and she was very much keen to start racing long course. Short course is not her forte. You could tell it hurt her. And Kenyanna McInnes just came back and paced it perfectly. But at the end of the day, like I spoke to you off the air, we're not worried about Laura Stevens's time. Like, this is the sort of time of year where your back end just isn't there in races. You build that in the winter block, which is coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at splits or anything. I've literally just looked at final time, and I'm going to assume that her 100 meter split was probably exactly where she wanted it, but because of the training cycles, well, she hasn't done as many training cycles as she need to, obviously, right now. That's why she came back hurting badly, and she drop went a second and a half. That's to Kiena. That's quite a big drop.
She went 28, 31, 32, and 33 high.
Oh, ow.
Yeah. The last 50 hurt.
Because she's not I wouldn't say she's strong at the underwaters, but I wouldn't say it's her absolute forte. I think she's better on top of the water, which is probably why she's better long course, obviously.
Yeah.
But if your underwaters aren't your strongest area when it comes to short course, especially to a 200 fly as well, it's gonna hurt, isn't it?
Mm.
But hopefully she does right. I've got no problems with the fact that she's gonna perform well at trials. I think that's just the way it's gonna be, the way the cycle is at the moment. I just think I don't have any problems with that at all. But Kiena McInnes is we've had our eye on her for what's that now, like 2 years or something like that, and she's starting to come through now. So it's good to see.
She was actually beaten in the 100 by her Sterling teammate, Lucy Grieve. Is another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. I tell you what, the Sterling team in general seems to be quite strong.
The 100 come champs, I've got no idea who wins. Honestly.
Well, that's the excitement, isn't it?
Two more females then that impressed me. So Freya Colbert setting Bucks records in the 200 free and 400 free. Albeit it was tough for especially the 400 I watched. I was there. It was tough because it was a time trial. She had absolutely no one to push her whatsoever, which is going to be the case if you're going Bucks records at this meet like this. But 403, good. 200 was a 154.2, again, looked good. She looked strong, really impressive. But yeah, early season, like long course is the target for these guys.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Again, it's a bit like Laura Stevens, like the not short course forte, I don't think, but I tell you what, if you're hitting Bucks records, maybe it is.
Well, I assume none of these guys are tapered. They're in hard blocks as it is right now. So the fact that these times are actually being hit.
You've got a European short course in three weeks' time. So
yeah, so
who are going to that, I know a few of them are tapering for European short course, but
that would have only started about now.
They wouldn't, two-week taper. Like they wouldn't. Yeah. They'd still be a hard training.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think the 400 free, I think I said to you off air actually that the 400 free for the women is probably one of our weaker events right now in terms of times. I know Freya's probably the strongest one, I would say, right now. This is going long course, I'm going off short course here, but 403 short is what's that equivalent to maybe 4.8 long, something along those lines. So Freya's like 2 seconds off, give or take.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's good. It's not bad for the first start of the season. Maybe like 4.8, I'm saying that. Maybe like 4.10. That sort of range. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. The 200 free is quite interesting. 154 low. She probably wanted to find a second on that or something like that. But again, times are almost irrelevant for her, especially.
Some of the swimmers who swam at Bucks.
Yeah,
hitting a Bucks records these days, to me, is impressive.
Especially because they've got the history and they've been going on a long, long time.
Exactly.
I just know Freya's capable of stronger. But again, early season, we're in November, so they've only been training 2, maybe 3 months, something like that. And this is not the target, obviously. So,
okay, well, let's round this up then by speaking about, to me, like the star performer of this meet, star swim at the very least, Fleur Lewis breaking a British record. Caught me by surprise. Caught probably everyone by surprise, but a 15:46.15, I think, breaks a 18-year record, or I think it's like 17 years 6 months. We'll just say 18 years. 18, it sounds better. With a swim for someone who's not actually been picked for European short course, now kind of feels like a slight mistake.
Well, I think she's just had this opportunity. She's grasped it. And she's just gone for it and done that. Now, I've pulled a stat up, actually, and you're like, this is from Pool Boy, so thank you very much for this, Steve, if you are listening. But our top five women at the moment in terms of times, three of those swims have happened in the last fortnight. So you've got Amber Keegan, Emily Bloxage, and now you've got Fleur Lewis. So actually, if you look at it from that point of view, we're in the best shape we've probably been in the women's distance game at the moment.
Yes,
which is really exciting.
Like, I don't know, like 12 months ago, we would have said distance swimming, man, needs to come on in this country. Like, even long, like even in the guys, you've just got Dan Jervis. Like, yes, you've got open water swimmers who are crushing it. But suddenly, like, women's side, Amelie Bloxage is really coming through. Like, she's still young. There's still a lot of time for her to really improve. But Fleur's swim, I think it was something like a 16-second PB, which is huge on the senior stage. She's another one of the Andy Manley group. Who were, distance-wise, we spoke earlier on in this podcast about what Dan Whiffen's doing. It's coming good for all of them.
Well, she hit a PB in the 800 freestyle as well, if I remember correctly, as well.
Less than 24 hours later.
Yeah, so she's flying at the moment. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does later on when it goes into short course.
I think now, like, we've literally just said this is a meet that we don't really think anyone's tapered for. So if Fleur isn't tapered for this, she might well be slightly, given, like, it's a scholarship meet and it's big for Loughborough. But I presume she's going on to one of either Scottish short course or English short course. I'm excited to see, like, this isn't a one-off. I'm excited to see her build on it and keep knocking this down further, hopefully until, like, the long course season comes around come January, February time.
Yeah, well, like you said, she wasn't selected for European short course, so maybe she's using either Bucks or, you know, the winter meets as the short course meet to target, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it could have been this one. It could be Edinburgh. It could be Sheffield later on this year. We'll only find out once those meets are done, really.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But I'm very excited. That stat actually blew my mind when I read it. I was like, that's very, very interesting. Hopefully that happens again long course. That would be fantastic.
That would be.
But it wasn't just the able-bodied swimmers. We got to talk about para because they also swam as well. Any para swimmers that stood out for you?
Faye Rogers setting a European record. We'll do it.
Yeah, massive. That's a great swim.
105.14 in the S10 100 meters butterfly. Tony Shaw swam really well as well for Stirling. I know she topped the podium a fair few times. Timon Chapman won, what was it, three of the 100 strokes?
Yeah, three different strokes, wasn't it? Three different hundreds, so freestyle, backstroke and butterfly.
Do you know, I love that Bucks has these para swimmers integrated into the meet, and they do give them, like, their own medal ceremony before the final session starts. Like, it's a really good thing to do, and, like,
Well, they need that. We've said this so many times that our para swimmers are actually stronger than our able-bodied swimmers when it comes to, like, Olympics, world champs, because they bring home more silverware. And these guys are just blowing it out of the pool, literally, every single time, you know? And the fact that they are swimming effectively at the same time as our able-bodied swimmers, so they're getting as much exposure as our able-bodied swimmers, that I think that can only be good.
So, yeah, I just on the para scene, I'm just excited to see what happens later on in this year.
Because
come Paralympics, GB will be one of the leading lights, and Faye Rogers will certainly be up there, definitely.
She had a good, very good season last year, so hopefully she's building on that, and I think she will, well, she's just hit a European record, who knows what the next one will be, because what's the next step after that? World, I guess, so you never know.
Absolutely. So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I hope you've kind of enjoyed our breakdown of Bucks. I know, like, after going to the meet and experiencing it again from the other side, like, not as a swimmer, as more of a coverage side, it's been a fair few years since me and Dan were there. Actually, it's the first time in a while. We're passionate to bring more coverage to the university scene. Like, it's desperately needed, in my opinion. We'll try and do the same for the long course meet. I'm not sure if we can get there every day, because it's a bit of a trek for us. But we'll try and find a final session that we can get to and provide some more coverage of some great swims, because this meet has just shown that Bucks is fast, short course racing is a lot of fun, and more people should pay attention.
Amen. Yes.
So that rounds up this week's episode of the podcast. If you have enjoyed it, please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and leave us a review on Spotify and Apple as well. It would really help us out as we head into December. Just a quick note, we will be starting the nominations for our end of year awards very soon over on Instagram. So head over there and you can have your say in essentially what awards we hand out at the end of 2023.
Yeah, let's get voting. There's quite a few categories, isn't there? Like 10 or so. So, lots of voting to get on with, yeah.
So, but until then, me and Dan will see you in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.